Know the source. One Radio Network. Talk to Patrick now. 888-663-6386. Or email patrick@oneradionetwork.com.
We're talking with David Icke. Live this morning, February 9, 2010. 888-663-6386. I know you've been holding for a while. Thanks for holding. What's your first name? Where are you calling from? Hello?
Am I on?
Yes, you're on. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Chad in Chicago.
Hi, Chad.
And had a recommendation and a comment, actually, for you, Patrick, and David, and all the listeners, a book out by Robert Sheinfeld. It's called Busting Loose from the Business Game. And not to let the title of the cover fool you, but it's a very powerful concept that Robert Sheinfeld has come up with, if you will, or discovered, which is what David refers to, which is everything is an illusion, going off the holographic universe by Michael Talbot. At the same time, as David said earlier in the conversation with you, Patrick, that he's infinite consciousness with David Icke as the experience here on planet Earth, so to speak. And with that in mind, everything is an illusion. Who we are, as David says in one of his books, infinite love is the only truth. Everything else is illusion. As you stated earlier, Patrick, we are the creators of the illusion. And so I wanted to have David comment on that, where he talks about this aspect of reality, that it is an illusion. We are the creators. And then on the other side, it still seems like there still can be power outside, where we still can get injured by someone or something or something like aspartame. Since the body is also an illusion, there really cannot be any power outside to injure us unless we create that. So I'm kind of confused on where David...
Yeah, you're bringing up a really good... thank you. Go ahead and listen on the computer. Yeah, he's bringing up a very interesting idea, but... go ahead and respond to what he said, and then I'll have a follow-up question, David Icke.
Yeah, well, there's no contradiction, because it's what we believe, we perceive. And, you know, when you are programmed to perceive yourself as infinite, as a physical body, then you are going to subject yourselves to the laws of that physical body, if you like, to that hologram. I mean, you know, if you look at a hologram that you buy in the shops, it doesn't age, does it? It doesn't age. It's just continually the same. We age because of a program we go through called birth to death, and you know, we are being programmed to perceive reality in a certain way, and therefore we experience reality in a certain way. Uh-huh. And I absolutely agree with Chad. I've been saying this for years. You can get to a level of awareness, a level of self-perception and self-identity, where none of these things affect you, of course. But the point is that when you are born into this world, and you are programmed to have a perception of self and reality year after year, it is a very, very challenging deprogramming process to get to that point. And it's possible to do it. Of course it is. I remember the wonderful story of the American scientist professor who was... he was investigating and researching the effects of LSD in the 60s, and he went to the East and he gave LSD to this Eastern mystic type holy man, and nothing happened. And he gave more LSD, heroic doses of LSD, and the guy just smiled at him. And it actually made this guy, this professor, change his life completely. I think he called himself Ram Dass after that.
Yes.
And became a mystic, yeah.
Right, right.
Now, that is just one example of absolutely these things do not have to affect us. They don't. But the body... computer level of our reality is programmed this way. And this is, again, going back, Patrick, to what I said earlier about the fact that humanity is in a an unbelievably low level of its potential in terms of the way we experience reality all the time, this is another aspect of it. As we expand, not just intellectually to understand who we are and the nature of our infinite self, but actually integrate it into being, because they're not the same thing. They're not. Intellectually, oh yes, everything's an illusion, and yes, and everything's connected, and oh, yeah, that, okay, fine, yeah, I'm with you on that. But unless you integrate it to the point where you become it, it's still an intellectual situation. It's still outside of you, if you like, and not part of you. When it becomes part of you, and this is the incredible world we're going to go into in the next few years, I don't fear for my children. Although the next few years are going to be challenging as the cornered rat starts to try to throw everything it can in its panic just to keep its control system together. But I think that I'm very, very enthusiastic for where this world is eventually going after the next few years, and it's going into these incredible areas where we're not going to be affected by this stuff, because we're going to realize it's an illusion, and we're gonna live in a very different world.
Yes, sir. And I think you really hit on something very clever, David Icke. We've all heard, of course, the famous book, 50 years ago, The Power of Positive Thinking. And then we had Miss Hay, and she talked about, saying that I am good and I am pure and I am clean and I am healthy. But as you said, I think it can be argued very clearly now, after coming out of the 60s era of the hippies, when we said, well, everything is cool and it's all beautiful and love, that unless we integrate it from the intellectual, maybe up to what you call the consciousness, or what I like to call the soul level, then it's still an intellectual exercise, and it really doesn't mean much.
Yeah, and much of the what we call the New Age arena is it's a mind construct.
Yeah, it's all in the mind, right?
It's an intellectual thing,
mm-hmm.
And this is why you find my experience anyway. So many people in what are called the New Age, love and light, I love everyone, are some of the most untrustworthy people you'll ever come across. I mean, that's not everybody, of course. I'm just saying that it's because they talk about it and they don't integrate it and they don't live it. And it is a challenge to integrate it, because all the time, Patrick, as we seek to integrate this new awareness, not new awareness, that remembering the awareness that we are, we're being bombarded, or the body computer is being bombarded 24/7. With information that's telling us the opposite. I can see why some people struggle with it, but that more and more people are waking up. There's a process. First of all, you start to see that the world's not like you thought it was, and that's still intellectual and all the rest of it. And then gradually you start to integrate it and become it, so that reflex action what are the consequences for me of doing this? Oh my goodness. They start to fade, and the question is not what are the consequences for me of doing what I believe to be right, it's what is the right thing to do, end of story. Consequences, forget it. What is the right thing to do? Because if you don't do the right thing, then what are you doing? You're not doing the right thing, so as you believe. This is the point of real freedom, where fear of consequences for doing what you know to be right start to fade. And the more people that do this, it becomes becomes more and more holes in the dike, and the dike eventually collapses, because we are holding this together. We're holding this together. And I would say this to people, people look at pyramids, and when you say where's the power in the pyramid, they look to the top instinctively. That's not where the power is. The power is in the base of the pyramid, the mass of the pyramid, that's holding the top, the capstone, up there. We need to stop doing that, and the whole thing collapses. This control system is a house of cards. It's held together by the human collective mind believing a certain sense of reality about self and the world, and when we change that reality, bang, the whole thing collapses, and we build a world based on the true nature of who we are, and not the illusory, limited, manipulated nature, which is what the world is that we're seeing manifest every day.
What is the name, David Icke, of that doctor that was a holographic blood? Excuse me. What was his name?
Dr. Harvey Bigleton, mate. Harvey Bigleton. If people go to my website, davidicke.com,
okay,
and they go to the right-hand column and scroll down, they'll find a link link to him and the book.
Yeah, I'd love to talk to him. But I've been thinking with all this new talk now, of course, been for many years, David Icke, about Codex and the powers that be wanting to take away some nutrient supplements. And now I think John McCain has introduced a secret kind of a part of one bill wanting to get things moving more quickly in the United States.
John McCain, I'm shocked.
Yes,
I reel back in amazement.
But then I've always felt like, from my perspective as soul, that there's always a way. And in the last few months, I've been thinking, well, maybe Patrick has been going about this maybe a little bit, trying to put too much energy and too much power into these things other than self to get myself really well. So I would suspect then that we have the infinite power as soul to tell our body and our blood and our cells to do whatever it needs to do for us to stay in this body as long as we need to, or to get rid of bacteria or viruses or whatever.
Well, you are absolutely right, and this is the next stage we need to move into. I mean, you've only got to look at the placebo effect to see the power of the mind over the body. I mean, you look at the placebo research around the world, and it's extraordinary. I mean, during the 1960s, they were doing placebo experiments with LSD, and some people who'd been given the placebo went out on LSD trips. You know, it was told to me over 5 hours in a Brazilian rainforest in 2003 by this very, very powerful female voice that was talking to me after I'd taken ayahuasca.
Mm-hmm.
And in the rainforest. And for 5 hours, this very powerful and loud female voice, and it was hilarious, by the way. I mean, you know, what a sense of humor, was explaining to me the illusory nature of reality. And one of the things his voice said, Patrick, at one point was, do you think it's ayahuasca that's brought you to this place, this state of awareness where I was interacting with this voice?
Uh-huh.
Illusion. And when I came back to England and started following up what I was told and found it absolutely panned out with five sense research, if you like, I came across all this research of these studies where people have been given psychoactive drugs, but they were placebos, and they went off on trips. And I thought, well, I can understand what that voice was saying now. This is what happens. So the power of the mind manifests we're back. What we believe, we perceive. And when you understand that connection, as these manipulating families and the rest of that network does, then what's happening to humanity, Patrick, 24/7, is our perception is being manipulated to create through this process of self-manifestation what we believe we perceive, so that our perception is being manipulated. And once you take back the power of your perception and you deprogram your sense of perception, what you do is you just get a blank sheet of paper and say, hold on a minute, I'm going to start again, no preconceived ideas. What is a preconceived idea? It is a perception which becomes your experience. And so no preconceived ideas, blank sheet of paper. I'm going to just look at this dispassionately, and I'm not going to edit anything. I'm not going to censor anything. I'm going to let this go where it goes in terms of information and all the rest of it, and we'll see if it stands up. You take control. It's like when something massive happens, like Haiti. Instead of just the perception is there's been an earthquake and all the rest of it, and then rescuers go in and all the rest of it. But when you take control of your perception back and you say, hold on a second, never mind what Fox News is telling me, never mind what CBS is telling me, never mind what Hillary Clinton is telling me in a photo opportunity that shut down an airport for 3 hours that was supposed to be supplying humanitarian aid to these desperate people. I'm going to look at this. I'm going to look at the background, and I'm going to see what I feel I feel really happened. And then you take control of your perception back, and then you take control of your mind back. You start to deprogram it. You're not buying the program anymore. You're going to do your own research. You're going to come to your own conclusions based on what you think and not what someone's told you to think. Now, that's just one example, but I guess the great spectrum of human life and human experience, when we take our sense of perception back, we take our sense of experience back, we take our power back. And this opens the floodgates to endless possibility, including, as we've been talking about here, using the mind to heal the body, because body-mind are expressions of each other. So why can't the mind heal the body? Of course it can. Consciousness can do it even more powerfully. To do this, I said actually, Patrick, in one or two of my books a little time ago, that what we call alternative healing is a stepping stone. It's not the end.
Uh-huh. Yes.
It's the stepping stone from scalpel and drug healing, look at that word again. Scalpel and drug medicine through to the alternative areas, which start to look at the body and mind in a different way. That it's a stepping stone. Where we're going is where we don't need that stuff, because we're in control of our own reality so much that we're in control of our own health.
It's real. It's just a fine line, but a miraculous line. Are you saying, David Icke, then? I've seen something out there that looks real and looks like whatever Haiti or the powers that be or whatever, you know, they're doing. And seeing that for what it is, but knowing that it is other than ourselves, and it has no real power over us unless we give it power.
Yeah, the big thing that a control system is trying to do, Patrick, is get us to react.
To react.
Now,
yes.
To react. Emotionally react. The whole system's about that. I mean, we have a part of the brain called the reptilian brain, and the reptilian brain is a reaction system. It's part of the so-called survival system, so they tell us. When you are driving along the road and someone walks out in front of your car and you smack the brakes on in an instant without thinking, that's the reptilian brain reacting. That's what it does. It doesn't think. It's stupid. It just reacts. But if you drop into that survival mechanism through the reptilian brain as a part of everyday life, then that reaction system starts to control your life, can't control your reality and your perception of reality. Because the reptilian brain just doesn't see physical danger and react to it. It sees danger to your survival all over the place. For instance, financial survival. When people are worried, oh, am I going to make the rent at the end of the month? Oh, my goodness, what about my mortgage? That's the reptilian brain. Am I going to survive? And it's the same when you're in a relationship. Oh, God, you know, is my girl going to walk away? Is my relationship going to survive? And when you look at the way that the system operates in terms of manipulating humanity en masse, it's all about getting us into states where we fear surviving. This is what the whole 9/11 war on terror is about. This is what climate change is about. A load of bloody nonsense, by the way, and that's unraveling more and more now. But it's all about getting us into this survival reaction, because, like I said earlier, with the example of the brakes being whacked on when someone walks in front of your car, there's no a thought goes into it. There's no, well, hold on a minute. Let's just look at the situation here dispassionately, calmly, and we'll see what we make of it. No, it's reaction, reaction, reaction. And so they want us into this reaction mode. And it's a simple thing, but count to 10. Hey, even better, count to 25.
Sure, yeah.
And just let that initial reptilian brain reaction fade in its power, which is all its main power is initially when you react, and then just calmly look at the situation and come to decisions on that basis. And then you start to see the world differently, because you're not running around reacting all the time. Oh, swine flu! Ah! Oh, economic collapse! Ah! I mean, most people are in a constant state of fear and I'm not surviving. That has been systematically manipulated.
And so when we react, then we actually make it quote, real, unquote. That's what makes it more real. It gives it more substance.
Well, a lot of things happen, Patrick. When we react in an emotionally charged, that's the word. You know, you can react so powerfully in terms of emotional reaction, you actually feel a charge of electricity going through the body. So when we create an emotional reaction, we're creating an electromagnetic reaction, and we're creating a chemical reaction. Mm-hmm. So while the chemical nature of the body changes when we're in a different emotional state. So this is constantly putting this imbalanced electromagnetic chemical charge through the body as we keep reacting all the time in fear of not surviving in some way or other, you know.
Of fear of death or something like that.
That's the biggest one.
Sure.
I mean, that comes from everything. I mean, doctors get their power and the whole big pharma industry, that's all it is. They can tell us about people. The whole big pharma industry is about exactly doing that, manipulating the fear of death to give power to the big pharma cartels. I mean, I've got a couple of examples on my website of Italian doctors. One of them has discovered that cancer is a fungus, and he's curing people of dramatically reducing cancer all over the bloody place simply by knowing what it is. It's a fungus, and he explains it brilliantly in some videos that they can get through my website. Another man whose wife had very extreme multiple sclerosis, again, what did he do? What did the cancer guy do? Tullio Simoncini, I've just talked about.
Yeah, Simoncini.
They got a blank sheet of paper, and they said, I am going to come to this with no preconceived ideas. The drug companies and the scientific university labs are not going to tell me what cancer is. They're not going to tell me what multiple sclerosis is. I'm going to have a blank sheet of paper, and I'm going to look at it. And this second Italian doctor realized that there was a blood flow problem in the brain that caused multiple sclerosis. He freed that blood flow in his wife. It's a simple procedure. She was her advanced multiple sclerosis reversed. You know, and the sad thing is that there are so many people out there who are suffering, who are dying, who children losing their parents, parents losing their children, who don't need to. It's the control system that suppresses this stuff. And the reason I've mentioned those stories is both of those Italian doctors have been attacked and undermined by the very medical system that should be doing dances of joy at what they've discovered.
Yes, sir. Speaking of being attacked, here's an email from The Seed in Amsterdam, Netherlands. And he said that he's been a fan of yours since Children of the Matrix and writes a blog called blogano70.nl for a few years. And he feels like he's been attacked and his family, causing a near-fatal car accident and some psychic implants. He says, I guess you've been similarly threatened and attacked over the years. Much worse, can you say what kind of things that you've done to defend yourself against these kinds of forces? Do you defend yourself by non-reaction, David Icke?
That's a very, very interesting question, not least for me at the moment, because it's interesting, you know, through kind of software and technology that go under the heading of keystroke programs, the authorities can follow every key you type on your computer. And when I started to write in this new book, this great jump forward in information, particularly in a certain area, I started getting bombarded night after night, still going on, with electromagnetic fields. And not only that I felt them, I see them. I mean, there's all this energy flying around the room, and I've seen some very strange things and all the rest of it. And when it started out, I'm thinking, what is this all about? And my health went down and down and down. And then I thought, well, sod this. I've not done anything about it, and it's still going on, but it's no longer affecting me. Why? Because I changed my perception of it. And I wake up in the middle of the night, I see all this stuff going on around me, I just laugh, give it the finger, and turn over and go to sleep, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean,
yeah.
And what's happened? My health is improving, even though it's still going on. You know, we've just got to not let fear get to us, because that's the control system's most potent weapon.
Very interesting, yeah. I think you're certainly on the right track, sir, for what it's worth. Here is Steve in Florida. Do you think the aerial spraying worldwide is an antenna to spread the programmed aspects of reality as the New World Order sees it?
Well, I think that, you know, the spraying from the air, I mean, I've been to 50 countries over the last 20 years, and even when I visit my friend Credo Mutwa, the Zulu shaman in South Africa near the Kalahari Desert, you look up in the sky and the body chemtrails are there. They're everywhere. And there's obviously a reason for that. And one of the things I've learned over this 20 years of research is that there's never one reason for anything.
Mm-hmm.
There are multiple reasons. Part of it is destabilizing the human immune system. Part of it is creating a sub-reality around the planet to manipulate the energetic field that we're living in every day. And I'm absolutely convinced that the chemtrails and the manipulation of the lower levels of the energetic field, Earth's energetic field, which we live in and experience all the time, is connected in part to the HAARP transmissions, which, of course, HAARP has many, many multiple levels of technology and applications, and one of them is literally creating mass fields of thought, which we decode as our own. I had a friend in America who told me a few weeks ago that she, her husband, her son and a son's partner had exactly the same dream about Barack Obama in the same night, which was a dream saying that he was a good guy and a wonderful guy and all the rest of it, which, you know, a day's research will show you is a nonsense. But and she said immediately that she felt that some kind of technology had been broadcast and people had picked it up. What they're seeking to access is the pineal gland to literally transmit thought, perceptions, dreams into your reality. We need to be aware of this, because not every dream is a premonition of oh, you know, all the rest of it. They can be broadcast out, and we can decode them and thinking it's a dream we're having when it's actually something we're picking up. And that's what part of the HAARP system is. And I think that this chemtrail stuff and many, many other things that are being dropped are in part connected to that.
But then I guess we can suppose that there's always going to be more of this stuff coming down, so we must get back to what we were talking about. You were talking about earlier, in the way of protecting ourselves, because it's kind of like, you know, protecting ourselves at the deep level is really the getting to the cause of the problem, right?
Yeah, because you see, there's a certain frequency range that they operate in, and in which they have their control system. And that is the frequency range, overwhelmingly, of low vibrational emotion, all based around the four-letter word called fear. Survival, regret, all these different low vibrational emotions, hatred, anger, resentment, all these things pull you into a certain frequency range, because they affect the way that our magnetic fields vibrate.
Mm-hmm.
And once you can break out of that, then you break out increasingly of the control system, and you can start seeing the control system for what it is, rather than being in the control system and of the control system. You are able to perceive from another point of observation and see the world in a way you couldn't see it before.
Yeah,
and your perception was clouded.
Yeah, and then the Chinese system, of course, David Icke had proved over 5,000 years that these different anger and fear, resentment, then they relate to a particular organ because of that vibration, like the liver, the kidney, or the gallbladder.
Yeah, and
it's fascinating.
There's a very, very simple explanation for that.
Huh.
We live in a holographic universe in terms of the so-called physical level of it. And one amazing characteristic of a hologram is that every part of the hologram is a smaller version of the whole. If you cut a holographic print of a picture or something, of some image, into four, and then you fired the laser at the four pieces, you wouldn't get a quarter part of the whole picture in each. You'd get a quarter version of the whole picture. You get a quarter a version of the whole picture, not a quarter part of the whole picture. And so, because the body is a hologram, everything's a hologram within physical reality, it means that your foot must be a smaller version of the whole body. And this is how reflexology and acupuncture, etc., can find places on the foot, on the hand, on the ears, everywhere, which can affect the whole bodies, because they're different smaller versions of the whole body. This is why a single cell can grow a whole body, because it's the cell is a minute smaller version of the whole body. And this goes all the way through. So therefore, the emotions that operate at this level are holographic. Thoughts are holographic. Therefore, they are also smaller versions of the whole, if you like, and must interconnect with each other. So this emotion will connect in as a version of this organ, and so the two affect each other. You know, I mean, what's interesting is that when you look at these old wives' tales, like someone's a pain in the backside. Hmm. Well, the meridian line in acupuncture that is affected by the emotion of frustration, if you like, of the pain in the backside, actually, and the way they're treating you, goes through and affects the sciatic nerve. So they're literally a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
For if it's extreme enough. Yeah. So everything's connected to everything else. Yeah.
Here's an email from Sheila. She is in Ohio and wants to know, she's always been fascinated with your work with the reptilian kind of idea and some of the powers that be. She wants to know if these people know that they are not human, know that they are reptiles. Do they know that they know?
Everything, the whole control system and the family network is fiercely compartmentalized. So the vast majority of people who are daily contributing to human enslavement have no idea. At the lower levels, that's what they're doing, and even at the higher mid levels, the real extreme nature and connected nature of everything. But when you get to the peak of the pyramid, or the center of the web, if you like, you get to the House of Rothschild, you get to the Rockefellers, and such like. You get to the British royal family, the Windsors, and that minor level. Absolutely, they know. Oh my goodness, yes. Oh my goodness, yes. The children may not know until a certain point. But oh my goodness me, they know. Yes, absolutely, they do. They know that they are vehicles, hybrid vehicles for entities that are not human. Absolutely, they know that.
Uh-huh. So here's an email from Randall. He said, "What do you see will transpire in the world scene within the next 5 to 10 years? If you were on a game show and you had to give some ideas what you see happening, what kind of things would you tell him?"
Well, I see the control system moving along, becoming more extreme, or seeking to become more and more extreme in the next few years. And at the same time, there is an awakening going on, and it's going to get more and more difficult for that control system to impose itself. I mean, look at the swine flu thing. I mean, they expected people to line up for that, enormous numbers. What they wanted was to get a large, large number, maybe 80% or more, to accept it voluntarily, and then they could start to target those that were refusing as in terms of compulsory vaccination. They got nowhere near 80%, so it's nothing like. I mean, in some places, 20% or less, and therefore they could not impose that. Now, why did that come about? Because of communication, of awareness of the background, and the fact that at the very least you should be very, very wary of why this is happening. As a result, they're now in disarray. It's shattered. It just shows the power of what can be done if we come together and make this a priority in our lives to bring this nonsense to an end, so that we can relax and then enjoy the true full nature of who we are and reality, and not the pathetic limitation that we are experiencing. So I see more and more of that. I see them trying to censor the internet more and more. But you know, I don't know whether you know this, but the first book I ever wrote since after my awakening. I wrote it in 1990, and it came out in very early 91, and its title was Truth Vibrations. And this was because in those very, very early days after I had my explosion in my head in 1990-91, I came up with this theme. I picked up this theme. I didn't invent it. I picked up this theme of information that was coming to me, that there was going to be a revolution of human consciousness. And this was going to be in my lifetime, mm-hmm. and there was going to be brought about by a vibrational change that would wake people up. It would act like a spiritual alarm clock. Now, in this new book, I go into this in a lot more detail because I understand it far more profoundly now, and it's so simple how it all works. But so what is happening, because this vibrational change, these truth vibrations, they can't just come in one go, because the vibrational change would actually literally blow people's minds. It's got to be done in a coordinated way, because this is very, very powerful, more and more powerful energy, i.e. Much greater expanded information and awareness that's coming in. And it's going to continue. Now, someone who wrote a book called Truth Vibrations 20 years ago that was going to be the spiritual awakening of humanity in a whole new era, someone like that, i.e. me, should be saying, see, 2012, Mayan calendar, I told you. No, I'm not saying that. I think the Mayan thing is a massive diversion. By 2012, these truth vibrations, and by the way, in 1990, when I first wrote about them, there was no evidence of a human awakening. Look now, 20 years later, my goodness, all over the world, it's happening. Mm-hmm. And more and more profoundly, more and more obviously, more and more people. These truth vibrations are going to continue to expand, get more powerful, get more effective. They're going to start affecting more and more people who are in lower levels of density and have not picked up that vibe yet. They're going to start affecting them. And so I see by 2016, 17, 18, around that period, I see this, what I was told about 20 years ago, that there was the human race, the human collective consciousness was going to awaken from its amnesia. In my lifetime, I'm 58 in April, and so, you know, we're not talking 50 years from now, if that's correct, and I know it is, then we're going to see this whole control system come down. That doesn't mean that we sit around and say, oh, as we just sit and wait for it. No, we're part of it. We're an expression of it, and we need to play our part in it and express this new awakening, this new consciousness, this new awareness in the way that we live our lives. We are part of it. We're not apart from it.
So each one of us individually has our own experience, sort of speak to realize. So it's up to us to do things that may be uncomfortable, or stretching ourselves, or opening our minds a little more, or letting go of old constructs. And we're all part of that system. We have to do our part because that's why we're here.
Yes, and also, you know, Patrick, when you look at different levels of this, because, you know, you can sit. Next to your, you could stand next to a wall, about 2 inches away, and you can look at it, and you've got a certain perception. What is it? It's just this ready kind of rough thing. What is it? Then you take a step back, or a few steps back, and you see that actually it's part of a house. So then you go further back, you see it's part of a street, and you're looking at the same thing, but from a completely different point of awareness in terms of what you're looking at. So there are different levels, endless different levels that this change and this situation we're experiencing now can be expressed from. And one of them is from a holographic five-sense reality, the breaking down of the system, the breaking down of the economic system and stuff can be seen as, oh, this is terrible. And on the experiencing of it, yes, I completely understand that, no problem. But from another level of consciousness, what you would call soul awareness, this system has to fall before the new can replace it. And you know, when you have an awakening, and I know this from my own experience, when you have an awakening to a new level of awareness, what happens, the new awareness creates dramatic changes, depending on how powerful the awareness is, the awareness change, in your electromagnetic field, etc. And what you were drawing towards you in terms of people, places, ways of life, mm-hmm. jobs, experiences, mm-hmm. starts to change. I mean, so many people listening to this program will be aware because they'll have been through it. Mm-hmm. I certainly went through it in a mm-hmm. massive way and continue yes. to. Now, what happens is when this first starts to happen, is you experience it as your life falling apart.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness, my life's falling apart. Mine did. I went from, in terms of weeks, from being a respected television presenter to being laughed at by virtually everyone in the country.
Yes.
And so, you know, I can understand that my life is falling apart business. So you take that onto a collective level mm-hmm. that we're experiencing. It can perceive that the world is falling apart. But if we look at it from that level of perception, we can see that what's falling apart is the very control system that's been controlling us. If we look at it and experience it from that perception, level of perception, it's going to be a lot easier as this whole house of cards comes down and allows a very different world, a much better world, to replace it.
That very, very eloquently said. I think it's very important for those to replay that and hear that. I think you're, for what it's worth, I think that's just so, so right on. And when can we also say then that when Patrick or David Icke or other listeners now become awakened, a little bit more aware that because we all are connected, that it also lifts each and every soul up just a little bit as well?
Well, we see, once you fall for left brain reality, then you fall for everything's apart from everything else, then you fall for competing with everything else, then you fall for if I don't walk over this person, I'm not going to get what I want, and all the rest of it. When you move through into what I call consciousness beyond the five senses, then you start to see that we're actually a single ocean of infinite awareness, and we are not the droplet we thought we were. We're just what we perceive as the droplet is just the point of attention that we're having at this point, and from that perspective, then you start to see that it's a case that we're all connected. And you know, if someone picked up a baseball bat and smacked themselves around the head with it, we'd say they were crazy. But when you get to this level of consciousness, that's what we're doing. When we're causing harm to other people, manipulating other people, then we're actually doing it to ourselves. And in the end, there'll be through within this reality the law of cause and effect. I don't think that operates throughout infinite reality. I don't, but I certainly seems to operate here. Then, you know, we're not harming just someone else. We're actually creating consequences for ourselves, and people miss that. I love it in the whole New Age arena where people talk about karma, cause and effect, but I've met so many people of that mentality who seem to believe that cause and effect apply will apply to everyone else on the planet except them, and they're really surprised when it doesn't. And they say things like, oh, it must be meant to be. Well, maybe it's not meant to be. Maybe this is a consequence for your an effect for your cause. I mean, you know, we all have to look at that.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to take one final email because this is kind of key. I think maybe will help a lot of people. This is a follow-up question to one of the emails, and they said, thanks for asking, but the problem is that we are not afraid and apparently have power to keep these forces away, but our loved ones and our children somehow are more easily accessible, and they're being hit by some forces. How can we protect our young children who are less aware, for example? That's an interesting question.
Well, I must say, first of all, I've said this many times over the years, I really feel for children and young people today because the control system has this plan to have this world as a globally centralized world dictatorship, an Orwellian global state. By the time today's young people, and particularly children, are adults. And so they are targeting now, more than any group in society, young people and particularly children, with food additives and the manipulation through education and so-called entertainment and all this stuff, because they want to control, complete control of their perception. Another big area, and I go into this in the new book in a big way at one point, because it's 714 pages, so you know I go into a lot of things in a big way, but the way that we're being drugged. You see, Aldous Huxley, who was connected into the control system through the Fabian Society in London, which is a major strand in this web, he wrote a book published in 1932 called Brave New World, in which he talked about how children would no longer be produced by their parents, they'll be produced by state hatcheries, etc., and how drugs would be used to make people, in effect, he used this phrase later in life in a speech, love their servitude. And what we're seeing now, and you know, I did this research and for the book, the levels of psychoactive, psycho-changing drugs that children are being given now in America, Britain, around the world is staggering. And they're creating and inventing things like attention deficit disorder to justify it. Now, this is an interesting thing. I said this in my last book. When you look at the graph of so-called childhood behavior problems, and you look at the like so-called attention deficit disorder, and you look at the rising graph of additives in food, particularly aimed at children and young, the graphs go up together like they're magnetically connected. Of course they do, because one's causing the other. Now, this is what I found. I did this in my last book. The studies on the effect of food additives on children's behavior is exactly the same symptoms as attention deficit disorder, which is being justified to drug the young. So they're giving them this poisonous cocktail called food. It's affecting their ability to concentrate, etc., etc., and then they're saying they've got attention deficit disorder, so give them the Prozac or whatever. And so this is a massive targeting of the young. What we need to do as adults is, first of all, to communicate this information to young people as much as we can, so they become streetwise. And I tell you, some of the major groups that or group of people that come to my website and read my books and come to my are young people, and that's fantastic, because they need to know this as much as, if not more than, anyone. And the other thing, as parents and as adults, we challenge this stuff constantly. You know, when the doctor says, "Oh, we must be," no, he's not having it. He's not having it. And you know, there was the people I've quoted in the new book who've been had their children drugged because of attention deficit disorder. Their behavior has got worse and worse, almost demonic. And the doctor's answer to it is more of the same drug. What they've done is taken them off that drug. They've used alternative methods to cleanse the body, a phrase you used earlier, Patrick. Mm-hmm. And it's disappeared, because we are, I said earlier, an electrochemical organism. If you destabilize that electrochemical balance, you destabilize the way and the effective and sharp balanced way in which the body computer decodes reality. So you're going to get behavior problems, because imbalanced behavior is an expression of the imbalanced electrochemical nature of the body and the body computer, and they're systematically targeting the young. So when children demand this thing off the telly they've seen on the adverts, and all the kids say it's great, and you look at the contents and you go, whoa, no way. And if a child don't like it and thinks, oh, you're a bad mum or you're a bad dad, well, fair enough, because what you're giving them is a great gift of not destabilizing them electrochemically. We can do all this stuff and also communicate to other parents, and you can't make people, and nor should we make people look at this and see the validity of it, but I have a great phrase I've been using for years: you can't unhear something. And so many people have turned to my books and my work in the last few years because the things I said have made great laughter a long time ago, and so they can't unhear it, and so we can't communicate enough of the background to this stuff, because the more we do, the more people will see it.
And can we surmise too on the positive end of it, not that there's positive and negative, it's all the same thing, I guess, is, David Icke, that the souls that are coming in incarnating now in the last 5-10 years, that they they must have created this experience as well, right? So and they're probably very well equipped to deal with everything that they're going to be, you know, presented with just a little support and love from their mom and dad, who they picked also.
See, this is a very interesting point. You know, I've used a phrase in the new book. Does anyone think that there's someone on another level with an AK-47 saying to consciousness, getting that body, I shoot, right?
Right.
Is there? So this is one of the key things that I think we need to understand, that if we're going to get a balance of our perception in this reality. I had a dream, not a dream, no, it was, oh, vision sounds kind of grand. I was sitting in the bath a couple of years ago, and I had this very clear picture in my mind. First of all, I saw billowing energy, which immediately I took to be consciousness. Then in this energy, an eye appeared, and then in front of the eye, a telescope appeared in front of the eye, and then at the end of the telescope, the seeing end, if you like, was the Earth and the universe. And then the last thing was this telescope morphed into a human body. So I had an eye representing consciousness looking through this lens of the human body into this reality. And that's very profound. And the more that I've understood since, the more profound it's become. What the whole control system wants to do, because it understands this, it wants us to identify with the telescope, with the lens, with being Charlie Jones and Ethel Smith, because then that pulls us into our point of attention, into five-sense reality. Gotcha. And what we need to appreciate is that which is experiencing this reality now is doing just that. It's the level of us that's experiencing it. It wasn't the level of us that chose to come, or not totally the level that chose to come. When we leave the body, and as near-death experiences have talked about in legions of times, your perception of reality dramatically changes, and your ability to perceive multiple realities at the same time, and to see what we call past, present, and future, and as one now, all that comes into focus for many, many people. Not all of them, because you know they're different near-death experiences, but for many of them, this is a common theme. Now, that level of perception and awareness that people experience outside the body, that's the kind of level of perception that made the decision to come here and experience this.
Yes.
And so, I hear it, I don't understand it. People say, I didn't never chose to do this, it's horrible. You're experiencing it, because you've chosen to experience it, and the decisions you make in this experience lead to other experiences. So, you know, you are in control of your reality if you only realized it. When I look back at my life, the great challenges I've had have been the greatest gifts. I have this phrase I've used many times over the years: life often gives you your greatest gift brilliantly disguised as your worst nightmare.
Yes.
And when I look at the most challenging experiences I've had, I don't look at them in, oh, that happened to me. I look back and I think, thank you. Thank you, because I am what I am, not despite what has happened to me, but because of what has happened to me, the one things I liked and the things I didn't like. And if we can look at the unfolding world as from the perspective of I am infinite consciousness, I always will be, having an experience, then it's a very, very different way of experiencing challenges to I am my body, I have 3 score and 10, and then that's it, and oh my goodness, I've ruined my life. Well, maybe you haven't ruined your life. Maybe what you think has ruined your life is a great gift, which further down the road you are going to be able to see. Because I would use this analogy. If you are symbolic of body-mind going down a river in a canoe, the only thing you can see, or the furthest thing you can see, is the next turn on the river. But consciousness, that which we really are, can see the whole river from source to sea. So how you perceive on your in your canoe at any one point is only what you're perceiving from that I can see no further than the next turn in the river. That which is, if you like, guiding us, that which is the deep level of us, can see source to sea. And often, you know, we'll have an experience, say you're going along in your canoe and you've looked at the map and you think, I want to get to this point by nightfall, and you might spring a leak or the tide might, you know, mm-hmm. wash you to the shore, mm-hmm. and you from your body mind symbolic perspective are angry, frustrated. Why am I so unlucky? And then someone comes along the bank and taps you on the shoulder and says, "Hey, mate, God, you were bloody lucky there. There's a massive waterfall around that next corner." and you see, it's a different perspective. And if we can experience this world from that higher level of self and not get caught, I mean, the five senses are there because they're meant to be there. They're experience. They're a means of experience in this reality. But if we can experience the reality while still being aware of who we really are and not get I self-identify with the experience, then it becomes very much easier to get through. I'll tell you that. I know that from experience. I'll tell you over the last 20 years.
Kind of like having your head in heaven with your feet on the ground kind of thing. We're in the world but not of it, huh?
We're in the world and not of it. And the flip side of that is we haven't come into this world to then spend that experience trying to kid ourselves that we've not. You know, and I saw in 1991, I came across this book. It's not in print now. It was called ET 101. And it was a tongue-in-cheek, but there's some very profound things in it. There was a tongue-in-cheek guide to ETs who'd come to Earth, right? And one of the lines was talking about the New Age area, the extreme, what we call the New Age, and it said that they're still circling the airport in a holding pattern, refusing to land. And you know, we come into this world for a reason, not to escape from it. I don't want to escape from this world. I don't want to get out of this holographic reality, this frequency range, until I've done everything that I just came to do. Then I'll be quite happy to walk away. Not until. I ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, boy, that's great. Well, David, it's an honor to have you. Thanks for staying a little bit longer than we originally planned.
No problem.
Let's kind of wrap quickly with what's on your schedule. Now, we have a new book then somewhere around in May, late spring, right?
Yeah, around May. It will be available through the website about mid-May, maybe even a bit earlier, maybe very late April, and it will be in circulation in the shops around the world, should be by the end of May, early June.
A lot of new things.
Oh, yes. I mean, obviously, I'm a dot connector, so there's stuff of previous books, because you can't take previous dots out, otherwise the new dots are not put in their context, seen in the true nature. There's enormous amount of new stuff, and really, it's really going to cause a stir when it comes out because of what's in it. Even within the conspiracy research arena, it's going to cause a lot of controversy, and that's good because that needs to move as well.
And David, we have listeners around the world that will be sharing this podcast. So give us a little bit of your schedule coming up here. We're in February right now. From here,
Well, I'm talking in London, but all the tickets have gone for that in May, and then I'm talking again in London because of the interest. We've put a second one on September the 11th. Not our choice, it's just the way it fell.
September 11th.
And then I'm going to be talking in October in San Francisco all day, probably in Chicago. I'm going to be in Amsterdam. I'm going to be in Athens. I'm going to be in a number of different places. Definitely Spain, Barcelona, and possibly Portugal. So, and there's more being added all the time.
And all of the information on your tour dates on davidicke.com and also the new book on davidicke.com, right?
Yeah.
Well, David, we love you all very much.
It's been a pleasure, Patrick. Yeah, a real pleasure. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor, and thanks for all your work and your courage. So as you keep at it, brother.
No, mate. No problem, mate. And same to you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Okay, David Icke. Yeah. Boy. Great stuff, huh? Great stuff. Well, you can take this one at the bank and pass it around to everyone that you care about. And, wow. Well, I love you all very much. I care about you guys, and I do this for you and get up. And it's an honor for me to spend my mornings with you for an hour or so at 10 a.m. Central Time. Tell everyone that you care about OneRadioNetwork.com. Please, if you can, from time to time, shoot us 10, 15, 20 bucks and help us support the game simply by going on One Radio Network through PayPal. You do not have to be a member, just any kind of credit card that's good, very secure, 10, 20, 30 bucks, whatever you have. And if you do that, then those who do not have the dollars can get on for free. That's how it works. I'll see you guys tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Patrick Timpone, take care.
Broadcasting worldwide from the beautiful hill country in Texas, this is OneRadioNetwork.com.